Our next public hearing is subdivision 2009-11, Branchwoods, LLC.
It's an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 30.99 acres into 46 lots, proposing a cluster development concept located at the southeast corner of the intersection of Route 5, also known as Union Street, and Road 234B, also known as Draper Road. On this application, we had received an exhibit booklet prepared by Artesian Consulting Engineers Incorporated, and it is a part of the record. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments based on the Technical Advisory Committee review.
Mr. Smith, the TAC review of January 19th this year, it's in part of the exhibit booklet. Each of you was provided a revised site plan that was received with the exhibit booklet. We provided you with proposed findings of facts and conditions of approval that Mr. Schrader submitted on August 30th of this year. And on December 12th of 2007, the commission granted a final subdivision approval for this site. It was a 26-lot standard subdivision, and that was recorded December 31st of 2007. They're submitting a revised plan using the cluster ordinance, proposing 46 lots, and 46 lots are permitted by the cluster ordinance. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. For the benefit of the record, I'm Dennis Schrader, representing Deep Branch Woods, which is the subdivision numbered 2009-11. I have with me this evening Jessica Nichols, who is a professional engineer with Artesian Consulting Engineers, who has participated in the design or redesign of this particular project. As has been pointed out by both Shane and Lawrence, this property is located on Union Street Extended, just north of Milton and south of Route 1. Currently, the size of this property is 30.99 acres. It is zoned AR1 agricultural residential and is the subject of a standard subdivision. It was approved in 2006 and filed as a final, in 2007, and that application was 2005-27. The property is currently used as agricultural lands and has woods on it and is sort of adjacent to a power line. If the cluster subdivision, as has been drawn, is approved by you, it will result in an additional 20 lots being placed upon their property. However, if you take a look at the comparison between the existing standard subdivision and the proposed cluster subdivision, the wooded area that is to the rear of the property can be preserved, and that would be consistent with the conditions that were imposed in subdivision number 2005-27. This is a low-density area, and it is in a level 4 under the state strategies for spending map. However, there is water service available, imagine this, by Artesian, and there also is sanitary sewer available by Artesian. So as a result of this particular project, there is infrastructure that will be available for this particular site. There is a small piece of delineated wetlands to the rear of the property consisting of about 0.7 acres. We have submitted to you a fairly extensive packet of material that will demonstrate to you how we get where we are for this particular project and the benefits. We also have submitted to you proposed findings of fact and conditions, and I'll discuss those a little later on when I get into that and the business about the covenants. I will introduce Jessica Nichols, who's appeared here before and I believe is qualified as an expert.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Nichols. I'm a professional engineer with Artesian Consulting Engineers, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the applicant for Deep Branch Woods. And if you go to section 8 of your booklet, page 8, there is an aerial of this property that I think would be helpful to reference. as far as getting located. I also have, if it would benefit the commission, a farther out location vicinity map for your reference as well, if, you know. Do you have that, Dennis? But as you can see, I'll just start in this area. This is a 30.99-acre site located about a mile north of the municipality of Milton. It is, in its existing condition, about two-thirds wooded, one-third active agriculture lands. And to its south, it is bordered by a subdivision called Starlight Meadows. To the north, it is, well, touches a subdivision called Waples Pond Acres. And to the west, it is, as Dennis said, it borders a power line easement and an open agricultural area. And then to the east, it borders a proposed, I'm not entirely sure if it's been recorded yet, but it is an approved cluster plan, Bay Manor. It's called Bay Manor. It's for 85 acres. 85 lots at a density of 1.69, which is actually greater than what we're asking for with our application, and that is, as I said, immediately adjacent to this property to the east. If you look at the location or the vicinity map that Dennis just passed out, you can see that there are other subdivisions in this area of the county, some of them with very small lots. Going from about 3/4 acres down to the 7,500 square foot lots. The south of this site borders Deep Branch. As Dennis said, there's about 0.7 acres of wetlands along that branch. This is a recorded 26 lot standard well and septic subdivision. You can look at a plat plan of it is included in our cluster booklet. I believe it's in section 5 or 6. Section 6 shows that plat. And this layout of the 26 lots, 3/4 acre lots, you can see that between the lots, the road, and the stormwater area, there is no remaining open space. It goes completely into the wooded area. The record plan, I think, shows some trees to remain, although it doesn't show easements that would limit the clearing. It just shows that, you know, if there could be some trees to remain. I would venture to guess that with the septics and everything, this is all going to more or less be cleared. There is no buffer to the wetland. The stormwater doesn't impose on the wetlands, but there is no buffer to the wetlands. And so we're coming back, and the reason that we're coming back to you with the cluster is because of the availability of central water and sewer to this. This is in an area which Artesian intends to extend water and sewer facilities. So we decided to come back under that section of the code for central water and sewer and thought we would come back with a cluster at a density of 1.48 units to the acre. And basically push everything as far as we could to the front of the site in the open agricultural area, which would leave as much as the wooded area intact and undisturbed. Let me look at my agenda that Dennis gave me so that I stay on track. Nonetheless, we feel like the cluster offers us a superior design. Like I said, with this option, there is going to be sidewalks and streetlights on both sides of the street, and there's going to be a total of 18.42 acres of open space remaining. This is about 60% of the subdivision. Of that, there is 11 of the wooded acres to remain undisturbed. We put 30-foot forest buffers around the entire perimeter, as well as recording a 50-foot buffer to the wetlands, although that's not entirely necessary because there's probably 1,200 feet from the end of our disturbance to the wetland buffer. And As far as just, you know, that's the general comparison of the two applications, the existing subdivision, which, you know, we think is quite a large amount of land disturbance versus what we're proposing, which is only going to have lots and right-of-way and about 40% of the site. And as far as infrastructure, there is, this went through the whole design process with DLDOT, so the entrance has been designed and approved, and I would not anticipate that there would actually be any changes to the approved entrance plan based on the addition of the 20 lots, because that's generating less than 200 trips per day, and it's not going to put us into a section that would warrant more improvements than what is already approved. And did I miss anything, Dennis? Okay.
Gentlemen, the primary benefit of undertaking this project as a cluster is that there is now available the necessary infrastructure to support the project by way of water and sewer. The effects of traffic will probably be negligible and is consistent with the prior conditions. A much larger portion of the woodlands will be protected. And again, if you take a look at page 8, tab 8, you can see where there will be the woods that were adjacent to the Bay Manor project, which is in this area. And these woods will be able to remain as a single track with minimal disturbance by this particular project. There are covenants and conditions that were submitted with the book. The conditions do contain agricultural land use notices. However, they do not contain a notice that was required by the approval in 2006, and that is the covenant should contain a statement that this property is located near an existing asphalt paving operation. The paving operation may involve noise, dust, truck traffic, offensive odors, and other annoyances associated with the business. The use and enjoyment of the property is expressly conditional on acceptance of any such noise or inconvenience which may result from normal uses and activities, and that does need to be inserted into the covenants, Mr. Lawrence, if in fact that condition remains in effect after this application has been determined by the commission. Gentlemen, that's all the presentation that we have for you this evening. Ms. Nichols and I are available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols, Mr. Schrader, and we'll see if there are any questions, and we will start with Mr. Burton.
All right. How does the sewer and water is coming in from Tidewater? Will it also benefit
Artesian?
Artesian.
Yeah, it's not Tidewater. I'm sure you didn't mean to say
all
that.
Right. Will it go to the other developments as well, the one that's directly behind it?
Yes, this area is going to be served eventually by what we refer to as our eastern transmission main that is coming from east of Route 16 and is going to come over into the Eagle's Nest area, and certainly anybody, and ultimately make its way over to the Answorth facility, which is the facility that was just north of Milton. And anybody in this vicinity can certainly and would be encouraged to tie into that system.
Okay, is there a timeline on that?
The time frame, well, the facility itself is approved by DNREC at this point, the treatment plant, and the transmission main is under design and probably will be approved, go through the approval process within a year or so. And then the actual construction of the main will be based on whoever's ready to, you know, pull the plug as far as, you know, they won't put it in until there is a need, but whoever comes first along that main that wants to tie in will kind of spur that.
Thank you.
But there is a willing and able to serve letter in this book, I think it's in section 11, that basically ensures for these developers that Artesian will provide water and sewer for their development at any point at which they're ready to, you know, need it.
Okay.
Whether they install the transmission main or not.
All right. I saw the power lines out there. Do they run right down the property line? Is that where they run?
Yes, they do. And you can see, it doesn't show the easement on here. It's clearly not a right-of-way because there's no, you know, physical property here, but it's an easement. And it is adjacent to the property. It looks slightly offset on this aerial, but, yeah, it runs that entire length of that western boundary line.
The easement that is recorded for those power lines does not affect this property
and
at all.
And it's actually not on our property. It's just adjacent to.
Great. The 10.9 acres that are left, is that going to be so stated that it'll be left undeveloped?
That will be recorded as this, you know, when it's recorded, this area will be a separate piece of 9-point-whatever acres that is to remain wooded and undisturbed.
We won't see another application of
the
road
extending.
Oh, absolutely
not. It's at its maximum density of 1.48 anyways on the property.
All right. What do you anticipate as far as the type and size of homes in there?
I would anticipate, this is to conjecture because I really have no idea, but I would assume that they would be small and, you know, in the 200,000 price range. I'm really not sure what they'll put here.
Would they all be stick built?
Absolutely. And I think there's, in the covenants, there's restrictions as to mobile homes.
All right. And you stated that there will be sidewalks and on both sides of the
street lights. And there's also a proposed tot lot in this area. We didn't want to, you know, go into the woods very much more, but there's a few parking spots and a small tot lot here, and obviously the bus stop is provided as well.
Mr. Burton, I want to point out something that we had a considerable conversation with our client about, and that is that there is this appearance that there will be connections between us and this particular project, which is the Bay Manor project. It can't happen because all of that was reserved as a part of the approvals of Bay Manor to be preserved as a wooded area. So even though this looks like it is intended to be a stub street to go in here, it's really more of a fire marshal turnaround, a T intersection, rather than a cul-de-sac.
I assume that you, like me, looked at that and went, huh, somebody's trying to backdoor another.
It's like you were going both ways.
Yeah. No, it can't happen that way.
I have to think that it's because this wooded piece to the east is landlocked, and DelDOT just probably saw a landlocked piece and was like, you need to provide them access. But, you know, that's part of that development, and it's reserved as wooded in that development as well. So there won't be any interconnection there.
Do you anticipate the proposed stormwater management area to be wet?
No, I actually don't anticipate it to be wet because at this point, and I'm running into this on a million of my projects, the Conservation District does not want wet ponds anymore. They really want you, and in fact, if you have a wet pond, you have to go through a waiver because they want you to try to do their green BMPs first and foremost. You have to prove that you cannot do those, and one of those is infiltration. So if you can do infiltration, if you have, you know, the groundwater is low enough, then that's what they're going to want you to do. And this is, of course, deceiving because it looks like ponds. But the reason this is so big is because we'd rather just do a shallow infiltration area that doesn't even really have the appearance of a pond and is planted and more just looks like open space.
It also looks like a pond because they colored it blue.
Blue.
Somebody did that.
And the 30-foot buffer, I just would assume that it would only be planted on the housing side of
correct. And if you look at the actual preliminary, it specifies that the buffer itself is all the way around, but this part, which is hashed on the plan, has to be planted per the ordinance that says, you know, every 100 feet you have to have. But this section will just remain wooded. You know, what's in the wooded area.
You won't cut any trees
exactly.
Down. And the property lines don't go into that, so
no.
You'll be able to control it. Great. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. Mr. Johnson.
Well, Mr. Burton did a better job of asking questions on that one, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any questions at this point. Good job.
Mr. Ross.
No chicken questions, right?
How about smarter than a horse question?
They'd use horses or chickens in rodeos. They're just too small to ride. Yeah. I guess, Mr. Robinson, I'm looking at this and I see 46 units, and it seems to me like last week or sometime recently, we recommended an application with 49 units go through plus. So why is this any different?
Well, there's a couple reasons that I think I can point to. One would be that this one's already been approved for a subdivision, 26 lots. And I think the reason that one was tabled and sent to plus was because there was topographical issues, there was historical issues, environmental issues that at least the record hasn't developed here. And I think when you look at this site plan, it's a cluster subdivision, and sort of rather than having a greater impact on those environmental issues, you could at least say that, you know, there's a lot more open space. So there's none of the concerns that were seemingly present in another one exist here.
I did commend you for the cluster subdivision design, as it is saving a number of trees, which are dear to my heart, almost as much as Mr. Johnson's, even though I plant more trees than he does.
Chickens are more dear to my heart now.
Now they are. They're only on the table, I'm sure.
That's now I know you can use them radios.
All the spoiled chickens.
We digress. It's really not pertinent at the moment, more for final site plan, but would you consider approaching the post office about a mailbox station somewhere in the entrance or something like
yes.
that? Always carry about our mail carriers. We don't want to drive them to drink at a young age. And that's all my questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Lank.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Mr. Robertson.
No questions.
All right. I have none. If you'll have a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application, Branch Woods 2009-11 subdivision? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to Branch Woods 2009-11 subdivision? Seeing none. Does anyone on the staff or the commission have any further questions? If not, I will close the public hearing. I'll invite you to spend the rest of your evening here to see if we make a decision or call the office in the morning.